All right. You know, there's a lot of fun topics to preach on. And I know people come just for these topics. You know, one of them's on money and tithing. The other one's on change. And then maybe the all-time favorite is on hell. Well, today we're going to go for hell. Let us turn in our scriptures to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. While you're getting there, consider this. This is a phrase that I came across this week that just really arrested my attention. Hell is growing. Catch that for a little bit. Hell is growing. It's getting bigger. The population is increasing. And the freaky thing is, it's growing faster than heaven. You know, God created us with the free will, the will to choose, right? And what do we choose between in life, you know, when it comes to our destiny in our life? Heaven or hell? Yeah. You know, there are many religions in the world, but I think if you took any religion and you boiled down their teachings to something, it's going to teach a choice in some fashion or another. And it will amount to choosing heaven or hell. You know, we have that free will to choose. And each of us can choose, right? You know, Jesus came and he has died once for all. There is no one in the world that cannot be saved. Not everyone will be, but everyone can be. We don't know God's mind when it comes specifically to specific people, but we know that it's not his desire that any go to hell. It is not his desire that any should perish, right? In fact, God does not say no to anyone Jesus brings before him. Jesus is our advocate, right? He's standing at the right hand of the Father. No, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he is advocating for us to the Father. He is our advocate. And he does teach us, Jesus teaches us something about the wide and the narrow gate. Are you there in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14? It's Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." You know, the sad fact is that hell is growing in population. And it's growing fast, faster than heaven. If you consider the world population and you consider how many people in the world claim to be Christian, claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, at present, there's approximately 7 billion people. What percentage of those would claim that Jesus is their Lord and Savior? I don't know what the true percentage would be, but certainly it's less than the majority, isn't it? Probably significantly less. That means that there's a tremendous amount of people not following God. And what does Jesus say? You're either with me or against me, for me or against me, right? You know, there's no middle ground. You know, you're either with Jesus or not. And we look at our world today, And us Christians can get dismayed. We can say, you know, we're being stifled, we're being persecuted, but even worse, we look at the condition of the world, the condition of society, and all of the things that are anti-Christian or evil. You know, if we really wanted to spend our time getting depressed, we could be thinking about the condition of the world. You know, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. We've been called out of darkness into light. So the question today is, do we care? Do we care? Hell is not God's will for you, nor is it for anyone. It is not God's will for anyone to be separated to go to hell. In fact, it would appear by reading Scripture that hell was never created for people. It was created for Lucifer, who was kicked out of heaven, and the fallen angels and the demons, and death. That's what hell was created for. It says in John 3 that if we have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior, we've been judged already. In other words, we make our own choice. God doesn't send anyone to hell. It's a choice that a person makes. Are you with me in Matthew still? Let's turn to chapter 18, Matthew 18. Yeah, that wasn't intentional. But really, when you think about it, the reason why I chose that graphic is the lure of the world is strong, right? You know, the party life, traveling, making money for the sake of being rich so that you can spend it on the lusts of the flesh is appealing. We see some of the sins: pride, greed, lust, envy, sloth, wrath, gluttony. You know, all of that is feeding the flesh, right? Feeding ourselves. But the other path being Jesus. These are the choices we have to make. It's pretty simple knowing what the choices are. So sorry, Las Vegas, if you're listening.
Well, that place can be hell.
Yes. But let's look at some of these choices. Matthew 18, starting with verse 7. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. Get that? Woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. And that's our question. You know, who are we representing? What are we representing? What is coming through us being presented to others? Is anger, hate, wrath, gluttony, judgment, lust, is that coming through us? Are we using that to inspire people? Or is love? Is fruit of the Spirit? Verse 8, if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be cast into the eternal fire. Amen. 9, if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be cast into the fiery hell. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. These are choices, right? You know, if your hand is causing you sin, your eye is causing you sin, you have a choice. Cut it off for the sake of being in heaven, for the sake of eternal life. That's the choice. And this is not so much a physical thing, but yet, even in the law, the Mosaic law, it does prescribe these things. But what Jesus is saying is it extends beyond just that physical thing of cutting your hand off or your eye or being stoned for doing this or that, violating this or that law. What are the things in our life, in our heart, in our mind, what are the things that are maybe not even visible, the hidden things that are not giving God glory? Jesus is saying it's better not to have those. Whatever it is that's keeping us from a closer relationship with Christ, keeping us out of heaven, we're better off without that. Can anyone think of anything that they'd rather hang on to more so than having eternal life? Bonk, time's up. Yeah, we can't think of anything, can we? Where'd we leave off? 11, okay. Verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So all of you overly righteous people, the 99, we're not so good, are we? Jesus is more worried about that one going astray. And yet we sometimes, when we're not the ones going astray, we start to have a pretty high opinion of ourselves, don't we? We start to think we're pretty righteous. And that's not to say, okay, that does it, Pastor. I'm not going to be righteous anymore. The point is, our heart should be like Christ. We should be willing to go out after that one who is straying. And don't we see that happening in our community, in our local fellowship? And I can testify that I'm personally challenged by this, and that I am personally tested to carry this out. So it doesn't necessarily come easy, but this is what Jesus tells us to do. You know, so each of us, there are people in our lives and people in our local church, and maybe some of them are really struggling and they're out there. In fact, there are a number that aren't here this morning, and I know for a fact they're either sick, they're bitter, they have decided, rah, 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 and they're angry and they're not going to church or whatever. So let us pray and ask God to help us reach out to those people. Are you still in Matthew 18? We look at 13 and finish off with verse 14. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. You see, God does not want any to perish. God does not want any to go to hell. You know, this is the fascinating thing. And if we find ourselves today thinking we're pretty righteous, we need to remember where we came from. You know, we're all born with reservations to the lake of fire. That's the fact of the matter. Because of the fallen world, because of the sin that came through Adam, which was imputed upon all of us. When we're born with the reservation for the lake of fire. And there's only one thing that is going to change that. And we can cancel that reservation anytime. And that's putting your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's how you cancel that reservation. You know, we remember Jesus when he was on the cross, being crucified. And he cries out, Father, why have you forsaken me? He was feeling that distance from God, that abandonment from God. You know, hell is a literal place, but even more so, it is a condition of living. Actually, we should say a condition of dying. It is the condition, the eternal condition of those who have rejected Christ, being separated from the Father. Do you know, it's a place of isolation. It's a place of loneliness, darkness, agony, punishing, gnashing of teeth. A place where you can do anything and everything you've always wanted to do alone. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're stuck in that loop, and you have no fellowship with God, and just think of it. You're crying out, and you have agony, and you're the ones that you love. You know, they might be there with you. Sad to say, but you can't interact with them. I mean, there's no love. I mean, isn't that alone? If you can't picture the literal place of hell, maybe you can picture that. And when we think about Christ hanging on the cross and going through that agony and crying out, you know, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Isn't hell the absence of all light?
Darkness is the absence of all light. And certainly, I guess hell would be dark.
Because it says, doesn't it say in Revelation that they'll be thrown in everlasting darkness?
Yeah, I think so. We were looked at Revelation 19, 20, and chapter 20, 10 through 15, where it speaks of the lake of fire. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just giving him that scripture if you want to look at it while I'm talking here. Yeah, 19, 20, and chapter 20, 10 through 15. You know, this is the end destination. You know, at the final judgment, Satan and the false prophet and all those who've rejected Christ, even death, they're going to all be thrown into this lake of fire for eternity. Let us look together at 2 Peter, 2 Peter 2. While you're getting there, you know, Another phrase that might just really get you. Real people go to hell. Real people go to hell. This is not a figurative thing. There are people that we know that have gone to hell. There are people that we know now who are still living that are going to go if something doesn't change.
There are people we've esteemed in the world.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. Even worse, the thing that I consider is how many people I have led towards hell in my life. And that is convicting. I mean, you know, I could just apologize to God for that. And that's certainly one of my motivations for living every day for the will of God, because I know how many people I've taken to the gate of hell. Whew. Are you there, 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 through 10? For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and he did not spare the ancient world but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction, by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. And if he rescued righteous Lot and oppressed by who was oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and how to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Real people go to hell, and God has demonstrated this already. But He's also demonstrated that there is a way out. There is an escape. He has given us the opportunity to escape hell by going to heaven and having eternal life. So, last slide. The thing that I want to challenge you with is, which place are you the ticket agent for? Are you the ticket agent for leading those to hell, or the ticket agent for those leading to eternal life? Consider your actions, your messages, maybe your inaction, the things that you do to and for others. Recognize that hell is growing. It's growing faster than heaven, sad to say. Which gate are you sending people to? The broad gate, the narrow gate? Are you sending people to the cross or the lake of fire? Do you realize that? You know, we have some responsibility. We're ministers. You know, our lives, the things that we say and do, has impact on other people's lives.
You know, a while back, I was following behind a pickup truck, and the guy drove it to the ex-Marine, and he had a bumper sticker that says, "It's God's job to judge the terrorists. It's our job to arrange the meeting."
That's catchy. Okay, we could get lost in that one for a while. I want to just finish up with one last scripture, John 17:6. John 17:6. This is that prayer that Jesus was praying as our high priest in the garden before He was crucified. He's talking to His Father. And in verse 6, He says, "I have manifested Your name." In other words, He has come and He has shown us who God is. He has shown us His character, His holiness, His love. He has shown us all about God. "I have manifested Your name to the men whom You gave Me out of the world." That's where we come from. We're all born in the world, and we are brought out of that world. We're born into darkness. We're brought into the light. They were Yours, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. See, the Holy Spirit draws us. God draws us to Christ, who presents us before God. He continually intercedes for us. How can we not be grateful? How can we not be grateful? All right, well, praise the Lord. Let's gather together and pray. And Cindy, would you let Latasha know we're going to pray? And maybe she might want to come up and have everybody pray with us.